That's been several days ago, so.
We're going to go in the Bible. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. But we were talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'm pretty sure I left off right here. Somebody answer me and say, yeah. Oh, my pianist is saying yes. That's good enough. And somebody else said yes. Sister Deb said yes. Well, then I wasn't real far off after all. All right, so we're going to go to 1 Peter. I suppose I better get there if that's what we're going to do. And chapter 2, the verses we'll be reading here momentarily. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we come to you again this evening, Lord, to study your word and ask you to open our hearts and minds to it. Lord, lay on my heart and tongue the words to say that, Lord, we need to hear and that we can use it, not just be hearers, but be doers. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5 and 9, we'll go there here in just a moment, but through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord's church received the unction of the Holy Spirit. Who knows what unction actually means? Give me just one word. All right. Sort of.
Indwelling?
Yeah, it's an anointing. That's what it's more like. It's more like an anointing. In the Old Testament, if you'll recall, that prophets, kings, priests, they were anointed with oil. That was a representation of, really, they were being empowered. They were being indwelled. But it was also an anointing to be able to get the guidance they needed. The church, really, that Jesus established, it's referred to as a royal priesthood. It's referred to as a kingdom of priests. Look at verse 5. It says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what we see is, we're looked at as kings and priests, a royal priesthood. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Go to chapter 5. Of Revelation in verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Wow. You know, that's interesting how that'll work. Now, Peter's talking about the Lord's church when he is talking about we're kings and priests, but it's not a universal church. It's a scriptural, New Testament, local, visible church body. Universal, basically universal. What's Catholic mean? It means universal. Look it up. Now, you know what, you want to know how universalism, oh, that's what I like that. You want to know how universalism got into the Lord's New Testament scriptural church? Through the Catholic teaching.
That's right.
And it stuck. And it's caused issues for years. And it will keep causing issues. It's not a universal. You get saved, it doesn't put you in the Lord's church. It puts you in God's family. Amen. When you get saved, you become one of God's children. But listen, the bride of Christ, the Lord's church, is a whole separate thing. Amen. It's pretty plain and simple. You can, all right here. You know, I talked to a guy this morning that, pretty interesting, some of the stuff he had to tell me, but we got to get together and talk some more. Jesus anointed his church and he set her apart from the world for special service to him. The church isn't just here just to be a church, just to have a place for us holier than thou saints to be able to come to and relax. Because if we get to thinking about that, we're in more need than the crackhead. Honestly, the church, it isn't a resort for all of us saints to come hang out. It is a hospital. And it's for sinners. And guess who that covers? Everybody but me. I quit sinning years ago. No, I'm kidding. I just sinned. I lied to you. It's for sinners. That's what it's for, because none of us have arrived. Now, some of us have come to that point in our life, and I don't want you to think it's a bragging sense here, but even Paul said it in Galatians chapter 6, ye who are spiritual, help out those that aren't. The weak brother or sister, the one that's got issues. But he said, be real careful, because you can fall yourself. Because what will happen, and that don't mean, well, you're going to fall into the same mess they're in. I'd never do that. Well, you probably wouldn't. But what's that special word that begins with a P? Pride. It don't take long to, whew. Man, I've been so spiritual. I've helped out Brother John. I've helped, the Lord knows, I've tried to help Deanna, but, you know, some people just, and then we won't even talk about Brother Louie, because they ain't no, we get that prideful attitude if we're not careful. We're here for a purpose. It's kind of like Kevin said this to me one day, and it was kind of neat, because we was talking about that, about the church is more like an ER. And he said, oh, we're sort of doctors. In a sense, yeah. Because as each of us come in, we've all, what I say, we're all sinners, except for Jose. And we all help each other, so we're all kind of doctors to a point. If you want to see it that way, it's an interesting point. And then we've got some that come in that are really, really bad sick. Some of them come in and they're really, really bad wounded, and we have to help them. That's the whole key. That's the whole purpose of the Lord's church, is to compassion. Yes. Yeah, it's hard to do. No, never mind. Well, yeah, you got to try the spirits. I'm going to tell you something. I was at a place the other day, and there was a fellow there, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot, but my spirit and his spirit didn't jive. And I can tell you why. In my opinion, he didn't want to know the Lord in that chair does. He wanted everybody to think he did, but it was like, man, two magnets, you know, when you turn the field against the other field, and it's just like, and I told somebody that knew him better than me how I felt, and she said, oh, I feel the same way. I said, listen, I said, don't cast your pearls before the swine. I said, leave it alone, get rid of this person, which they did. But anyway, the Lord gives us common sense with this stuff, but the church is anointed, is set apart to do the Lord Jesus' work. If we stop doing the Lord's work, we're getting in big trouble. We support right now two missionaries. Pay a little bit to the ABA. I think here real soon, we probably ought to see about grabbing another missionary. You'd be praying about that, and we ought to grab up another one. You don't have to pay them a fortune. Every little bit counts. Amen. But the point is we're helping them. Now, at one time, we had about 8 or 10, and it was too much. We had to back off of some of these, and actually some of those guys have retired since then, so it worked out okay anyhow. But we need to start gradually bringing some more missionaries into the mix with what we're doing. That's what it's about. And being part of the Lord's New Testament church, it don't matter if you put a penny in the offering plate every week. By you supporting Wagon Wheel and it going out to support them, all of what they do falls on your account as well. That's cool. You're going to get to heaven and people are going to say, well, you know, because of what you did, I'm here in heaven. It's going to be like, well, I've never met you. Yeah, but you supported George Cormos, who told me about the Lord Jesus. It goes on your account. Goes in there to your rewards from the Lord. You see, there's a lot of rewards going on that we don't even know what's happening. You ought to take time when I post them and when they come to me. The letters back there from these missionaries. We got Jim Black, that's Sister Judy's son-in-law. And we got George Cormos, which is a good friend of mine over in Romania. And listen, you ought to check out what they say. And when they say 4 people got saved this past week and added to the Lord's church, guess what? That falls on your account. That's what it's about. That's what we're supposed to be doing. All right, I better go. So through the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the church is enabled to possess a knowledge of all His truth. We can possess all the knowledge of His truth. It's why we can read this and we get it. There's some people read this and it's like, what? It's kind of like when I read the book of part of the Book of Mormon one time. I'm like, what? I couldn't finish it. But that's why people understand it. It's because the Holy Spirit helped you to do that. 1 John, since we're back there in that area, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. We know what the Lord wants us to know. Now, look at verse 27. I think. Yeah. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now let bless you. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So, the Holy Spirit leads us, and it anoints us as a body, as a whole. Now, I'm not going to tell you the Holy Spirit doesn't help you in your home studies, because He does. But when we're talking about the church coming together as a whole, the Holy Spirit helps us to get it. He goes around convicting. He also goes around, and you may hear something that I preach that the Lord's laid on my heart, but Brother Louis, he don't hear much because he's sleeping. But when he does wake up, no, I'm kidding. When, listen, Brother Kevin may catch something,
And Louis may get something. It's not because they wasn't paying attention, but that's what the Lord wanted them to get out of it. There's been times I've been in churches and being preached at, and I got it this way, and then somebody else would get it that way, and I'm like, well, that ain't what he preached about. Well, that's what they heard. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives as an individual. And listen, the Lord does that for us. Man, that is a blessing. Jesus, he called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and said the world could not receive him. John 14. Book of John, chapter 14. That's right before chapter 15. Less common core than it could be anywhere in there. John 14, verse 16. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In other words, the world out there really don't know what we do. They can't figure that out. Now, when they get saved and they join up with us and they're coming to church, they learn. But you take somebody out there to just get saved, they ain't got a clue. They don't understand, and they just go through their life. They need teaching. And that's there again, falls under the heading of what the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to teach the doctrines of that the Lord Jesus left with us. The Holy Spirit abides in the church as really administrator to illuminate the members in truth. That's what he's here for. Oh, we're doing good. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus sent the Comforter to his church. Now, the Comforter comes from the Greek word parakletos, which means one called alongside to help. Kind of like me and my wife. She's not supposed to be behind me. She ain't supposed to get in front of me. She's supposed to be beside me. She's supposed to be there as a helpmeet. Every now and then she gets in front of me and I grab her by the hair of the head, straighten her out. Yeah, if I did that, I'd have two black eyes. That was one for doing it and the other one for saying what? No, she's beside me. She's a helpmeet to me. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He is a helper for us. He comes alongside of us and he helps us along as we're serving the Lord and doing what we're supposed to be doing. He becomes a helper to us. We're not to put him on a pedestal. Whoa, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's right. But the Holy Spirit is a comforter to us. Listen, and I'm going to say it again, and I've had some strange looks from people, but it's okay. It's not about God. Okay? It's not. That's what's wrong with the world. They all want God this and God that and God and God and God and God. Who does God cover? God covers anybody, but when you say it's about Jesus, it changes everything. It makes what people used to say tunnel vision. That's what you get. You put blinders on a horse so they don't know what's going on out there. They get that tunnel vision. It's about Jesus. It's not about the Holy Spirit. It's not about God. It's about Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us, helps us along, and tells us about the truth about Jesus.
and illuminates us with what the light, which is Jesus, and we're to tell people about Jesus. Irritating about some of these new 7-Eleven songs they got. They say, all of them sing about God. And they got one, and I get it. It's a nice song. I believe, I believe, I believe. What do you believe? Tell me something. Sandy read me a little deal about Fanny Crosby the other day. Wow. That woman, she sang about Jesus. And you know, what'd she say about, they asked her about getting her sight back? She said, nah. She said, I don't want my sight back. She said, because when I get to heaven, the first face I'll see is Jesus. It's about Jesus. You see, while Jesus was on earth, now think about this. While Jesus was on earth, he was of imminent help to help his disciples. He constantly taught them. He was constantly helping them, guiding them. He was giving them strength and comforting them. Every now and then we catch the disciples out there doing something and Jesus ain't with them. And all of a sudden, Jesus! And he shows up and he helps them. But he was limited. Jesus was limited to that one little area. And that's why when I read in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it may be 2 Corinthians 2, but it says, if the powers that be, which really and truly when I read that, I see that as the principalities of the air. If they had realized what crucifying Jesus was going to do, they'd have fought tooth and nail to keep him from being crucified. They'd have been helping him along here, have some steak. They wouldn't have wanted him to die, because when Jesus died, that fixed it to where we all have Jesus everywhere we go. You see, the disciples were alone sometimes. They didn't have him. There was times that King David was alone. We don't have that problem now. You see, we got Jesus wherever we go. Whew, amen. That's a good thing. Because, trust me, I need him for comfort. I need him for guidance. I need him to strengthen me all the time. Amen. All right. Jesus told his church that it was necessary for him to leave. You know, they didn't want him to go, man. They were his buddies. You know, they had been together in boats, they had been together in storms, they had one time they were kind of in hiding and Lazarus died and Jesus waited around 4 days and then he said, let's go to Jerusalem. That's not a good idea. Well, yeah, we're going to go. Thomas said, let's go die with him. Thomas done figured it out. Well, I'm going to go with you, so I got to hand that to him. We're going to go up there and die, but hey, let's go. Because they're going to kill us, Jesus. they stuck. But you see, there was times they didn't have him right there with them to strengthen them. Listen, we've got him all the time. Oh, that's a blessing. But it was necessary for him to leave so that the Holy Spirit would come. John 16, verse 7. And we're right there. It said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Listen, it was a good thing that Jesus was going to die on the cross. And they didn't understand. Listen, we wouldn't have understood. But It was a need be. Expedient. That Jesus died on the cross, was buried and risen and went away so he could send the Comforter back, because he knew what the Comforter was going to do. He says, look, he'll be with you all the time. I can't be with you all the time. He was limited. That sounds funny. because he was 100% God, but he's 100% man. But in his humanity, he was limited with what he could do. Now, hanging on the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels. But to be honest with you, he didn't need 10,000 angels. He could have taken care of it himself. But he knew what needed to be done. You see, Jesus could only be in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit, not only is he in his New Testament church, but he's also in me wherever I go. Doesn't matter where I'm at, the Holy Spirit's right there. And hey, not only is that a comfort, but that's a blessing. The Holy Spirit, he was sent to take Jesus' place as the comforter and administrator of the church. You see, Jesus started the church with those on the seashores of Galilee. They depended on him for everything. He was the pastor. What a pastor. And when he left, he sent the comforter to be with each individual, but also to be with the church. And then he got the under-shepherds, which is what I am. And when my heart's right with the Lord and I'm studying, he gives me what I need to give you because he knows what you need. Amen. It's funny how that works. You know, I can preach and I preach what the Lord's laid on my heart. And when it's all said and done, somebody will walk up. You sure you ain't talked to somebody that knows me? I'm like, nope. You sure you ain't got a camera at my house? Nope, but I know what you've been doing now. I used to think that away. When pastors I've been under preached, I used to wonder, how do they know that? How does he know this is what I needed to hear? How does he know that when I saw him coming up the driveway, I went, slid it under the couch so he wouldn't see what it was? And how did he figure that out? That's because the Holy Spirit lives within. And he says, I'm going to tell on you. And he does. The Lord knows. And then when I study, the Lord says, say this. I'm like, why? Because somebody needs to hear it. That's the way that awesome way the Lord works. I get a real kick out of it. All right, we're going to stop right there because I can't finish all this at one time. We'll pick back up on it, Lord willing, next week if the rapture doesn't happen. If it does, one of you in here, please turn out the lights. And no, hopefully everybody's going. Amen. But if you have time, lock the door. But nonetheless, hey, we'll pick up on this next week, Lord willing, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit.